This podcast is where comfort killers like myself explain useful, practical, and conscious strategies to help individuals all over the globe get up, get out, and get it done. Comfort is our number one enemy. Being comfortable is for average, ordinary, status quo folks who live their lives through social filters and under normal circumstances. Comfort killers walk a different path. We set big goals and accomplish them, achieve greatness through purposeful action, and share our experience to help save many. Get the heck off the hamster wheel and get uncomfortable already.
It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get it done. Get it done.
It's time to get on.
Let you get uncomfortable with it. You know what I mean? It's time to get uncomfortable.
Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Stacey A. Cross, and there is no E in my name, and you are listening to the Get Uncomfortable podcast show hosted by The Comfort Killers, www.thecomfortkillers.com, and I'm so amazingly happy and excited to introduce to you a freaking powerhouse when it comes to getting uncomfortable. He is the reason that I named this show Get Uncomfortable, because in his bio, in his life, on his journey, and his story is complete with failures, with health issues, with automatically, completely, you're gonna say, man, you should be out. You should be out of the race. You should be out of the bout. We counted you out, Dave. You know, but I know that you counted yourself in just by reading your story. Listen to this, comfort killers. Survived 16 years of depression, diagnosed with ADHD in 1997. And I'm not saying that because it rhymes. I'm saying that because it happened. It's real. Diagnosed with permanent brain damage in 2011. Before we go on, I want Dave to share that side of his life before we get into how he broke comfort and expanded himself and is doing so much amazing things, like an author, a TV film writer, transformational speaker. I know that you want to know. So before we get into that, Dave, thank you so much for joining us on Get Uncomfortable.
Wow, I love it. Thanks for the energy. It's so amazing. Thank you for having me. You know, when I saw that you were looking, I had to come on board.
Well, you know, I'm always looking for comfort killers because I know our stories are so amazing, and we need to kind of let people know that whatever they're going through, their current situation, they need to get uncomfortable to break through whatever they're going through to reach success. So that's what I want to just give my audience this, because your story is relatable. You know, because they all said we got ADHD. Tell me about that time in your life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was very stressful. I didn't get diagnosed until grade 7. So from ECS up until grade 6, I was called lazy, unmotivated. I had no future. I even had teachers call me worthless. So, you know, going through the lifestyle of not understanding what you have and then being told exactly what you have, which is ADHD, it's just, you would think that when you get diagnosed that it would be some reassurance for you, some comfort. But when I got diagnosed, I was angry. I was fed up. I was frustrated because I spent so much of my life being judged for being, you know, unmotivated. But realistically speaking, I'm very motivated. It only in certain areas of my life that I'm passionate about. I was always showing discomfort in math and social and science, all those subjects that took great intense focus. I never had passion in those subjects. However, phys ed, you know, I love phys ed. I love English. I love English, love writing. You know, so I had to battle the school system for so many years to understand that I am an intelligent young man. However, I have a certain style of comprehension that I have to do to make myself comprehend what you're trying to teach me. For example, if you gave me a mathematical question, I would do it in a way that made me feel comfortable. You know, and I did it in a way that made me get the answer. The school system didn't like that. So, you know, it was a constant battle from ECS all the way up to grade 12. But I graduated with extra credits. All those teachers that thought, you know what, Dave will fail. He was not going to go anywhere. No. The hell with that. I made sure that I was going to graduate with extra credits to give those teachers, you know what, here, you know, I need 100 credits to pass. I graduated with 109.
I love that. You know what's so funny, what you're saying is, you're telling me that our own school system, the one that's supposed to teach us to succeed and put us in a position to succeed, they're the ones holding us back and telling us that we're unable. You said worthless. Like, how does that even sound coming from a institution that's supposed to prepare you for success and the next level in civilization, right? That's freaking absurd. Did your English teacher tell you that you got what it takes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The teachers that were teaching me the classes that I was very passionate about loved my work ethic and they defended me. It's kind of, if you think about it, if a teacher is telling a student that they feel that that student, he or she, is worthless, you have to also accept some accountability that maybe that how they're teaching is not worthwhile. Maybe it's incorrect. You know, you have the average of 26 to 33 students in one classroom. There's a guarantee that at least two of them will have a learning disability. And the school system is tremendously flawed. Because they want apes, they want gorillas, they want elephants, they want giraffes, they want snakes, they want all different type of people to climb a tree.
Right.
With the ability to do so. Like, I'm a fish, I can't climb a tree, but guess what? You tell me to swim upstream, I'm going to do it.
Right. No, I love that. I love your terminology when it comes to the finding a different route to get to me. And I think that I had the issue. I went to nursing school, and I just couldn't, like, the tests, I just couldn't get it. I get the concepts, and we could have great conversations about it, and I know the answers, but for the test, I just couldn't put myself in that. I didn't call it a learning disability. I was like, you know what, fuck, I don't even want this in my life. It's not something, I just use it like it's not my path. But I love the way that, you know, you took that, and you, instead of graduating with 100 credits, you wanted to go more, and you did it with an extra 9, an extra 10. So thank you for that. But here's the thing, and also that I read in your story, is that on 3 separate occasions, okay, and a lot of people are battling this right now. On 3 separate occasions, you battled suicide.
That's correct.
First of all, how do you even get in that frame of mind? How old were you? What was going on? And of course, you didn't succeed. And I'm happy at that.
Oh, yeah, thankfully, yeah. The first incident was in grade 9. Not many people knew about it. Actually, my family probably didn't know about it until about a year ago or two. It was in grade 9 when I was dealing with bullying and a lot of lack of confidence, a lot of lack of self-awareness, having absolutely no focus. The only focus I had was on the you know, all the negativity around me, you know, dealing with ADHD, dealing with concussions. Because at that time, I had my first concussion when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
So I was dealing with concussions my whole life. So I was just going through a lot. And then in 2006, I dealt with it again after being assaulted with a shovel.
Oh my
I got
God.
Jumped by 2 drunk males for my cell phone. They never got it, but they got my hat. It was a St. Louis Rams hat, whatever, see you later. But they took the hat, but I dealt with that because at that time I was chasing my professional wrestling dream.
Mm.
I was being a professional wrestler, going around the hearts and the wrestling industry. So when I had to retire from professional wrestling training, I completely lost focus. Like, wrestling was my life. It saved me. It helped me. You know, you have to have that positive outlet as a youth. You got to have, you know, some is dance, some is music, some is band. Mine was wrestling and football. Right. So when I lost the wrestling dream, it sent me down hard. So 2006 when I dealt with it. And then 2011, I dealt with it again after my 15th severe concussion and being in brain injury rehab for several months. I was going through a divorce, lost my job, suffered the concussion. Everything was just falling apart. And I vividly remember the only reason why I did not do it in 2011 was my son.
Wow.
I will tell you what, being a father saved my life.
So your why was bigger than yourself then?
Correct, my son.
Yeah, and your son, and that's what we all got to see is if we have a deep-rooted why are we doing this? For me, it was like, you know what? I'm tired of gambling, right? I'm tired of living a zombie life. I see my life going through this loophole. I'm on this roller coaster, and I needed that powerful why back behind it, or else I'd still be there. So now I'm getting the gist that school, you accomplished that, you beat that out, but of course that was a time in your life that where you had struggle. You were born and diagnosed, and you had depression throughout more of your high school years, your growing up years, your youth years, leading up to now you're an adult, you're married, your life is in a whirlwind, you lost your job, you get 15 concussions, you kind of hate this state. Where was the magical moment where Dave said, you know what, enough is enough, I'm going to overcome what is going on, and I'm going to get better and transform because of this? Because we all have that aha moment. So what was yours?
Oh, to be honest with you, it's rehab. My psychologist, my eight therapists. When I got diagnosed with the permanent brain damage, it was an eye opener. Okay, you know what? I need to focus on something that will build me consistent focus where I can just be happy and just move on. Cause like you can never ever build a future based upon the past memories of just sadness, right? You had to find that new focus, that new future. And what happened was when I had to leave the security and bodyguard industry, which was another big passion of mine, I want to help people, you know, because I learned through my life, my struggles, that the best way to heal is to help other people heal with you.
Right.
My focus was helping others. And that is, you know, what got me out of the darkness. You know, I focus on helping people completely. Like my service, my talent has always been, I felt personally, was helping others. Because, you know, when you're going through depression, it's very hard to take care of yourself. Because you just don't care. You're just done. So I found that the best way to take care of myself was to take care of other people and in that heal.
I freaking love that. Because, you know, at one point in my life, I was depressed. And I'm just relating with you with what you said. One point in my life and everything, like I always talk about how one part of your life affects all these areas of your life, right? So if you're depressed, it affects your health, it affects your social, it affects your financial, it affects this entire scope of life. So I love that you decided, right? You made the choice that in order to help myself, I help other people, I become selfless. And in the joy of that, you get better. And that's what I did. I did it a whole different route, but I did that because I believe that you have to become this person of giving. You know, you have to give, because we've been so selfish. We want all these things for ourselves. We want to change. We want this. Why come our incomes isn't up to par? We want this love. We want, but we're afraid to give ourselves. So I think that, you know, that's definitely relatable to me when I was depressed at one point in my life. But I love how you use that energy and you found it and you contributed that success to a psychiatrist.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know what? Usually they get a bad rap, Dave. They get a bad rap. They feed you pills and they feed you zombie-like things to keep you down. But you've actually aligned with someone that made you better. And that's awesome. That's what it's about.
That's true. Yeah. Like I was completely blown away. Like when I walked in there and she told me that, you know, off the record, I shouldn't say this to you, Dave, but she's like, I'm surprised you're still alive.
Wow.
And I told her, I was like, you know, that's powerful because so am I. But I'm like, when I had the can of alcohol and the pills in my hand, the only person that I saw worth in living for was my son. Like I heard his laughter. Like it was so vivid. Like I tell people, like when you're in the state where you feel the best option is ending your life is when you truly need help. Like that is where you're dark and like, it was just a very vivid time in my life where I remember it correctly, like accurately with my concussion syndrome and all my memory issues. Yeah. It's very hard to have some memory time, but I always remember that day vividly because it was just so powerful. Like, I'm not a drinker. I don't like alcohol, but the fact that I grabbed a beer can and opened it, and I don't like taking pills, but those are the two things I resorted to. That's how bad of a person I became. I wasn't myself. And people, it's frustrating when you see mental health and depression being disrespected. Like it's not being taken seriously. But when the reality is any time, any life, you will most likely deal with depression once. Every single person.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, depression stems from a loss of job, loss of health, loss of a relationship, loss of a loved one. We all experience loss. So I always get very frustrated when I see people saying that depression is not real, it's made up, or even worse, ADHD. Like when I had a host tell me that ADHD was not real, that conversation took a turn because I was not happy with that whatsoever. So, you know, I always make it a point to say ADHD, mental health, depression, schizophrenia, all of them are absolutely real. Yeah. And it's society that helps contribute to them.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so now you're going on your pathway, your son saved you. You've got a big why. What now? What do you turn it into?
Oh wow, it was a slow progression. Once I got released from rehab or discharged, I focused on public speaking. That was something I really wanted to do. Like I shared my story online, Facebook actually, and it didn't go viral, but it hit a lot of people, which is what I was hoping to do. And I realized that was a trend that I wanted to, you know, continue on.
Yeah.
So my my good friend Sunday invited me to come speak to a group of 900 students. My first ever speaking appearance, I was nervous. I was, as you would say, uncomfortable.
Yes.
But I was very, very excited. I knew that I was on the right path. So I did my public speaking, and then I realized that I wanted more. So then I started getting the production of a TV show for youth empowerment. Then I started getting acting. Then I started getting to writing movies. And I just had a movie wrap up in LA with Dominique Swain.
Woo!
From Disney Channel. So like I'm getting all these connections because it all started with me becoming comfortable after all the discomfort I was going through.
Right. And you know what? I love what you said here. You said, I chased my dreams regardless of health issues and my dark past struggling with depressions, concussions, and all of that. So you know that it's there. It's not like you try to shut it out like that's another side of you that you don't want to go down that road. It's a closet that you won't open. That's really what's making you stronger. And you noted that you still go on despite having this struggle, this obstacle. You don't turn it into an obstacle, you turn it into a challenge, and you're overcoming that. And I love that. Because the one reason I love that is because people think that you have to, in order to start doing your financial journey or whatever the hell you want to do, you want to get millions, right? But you first have to start with a million, they think. They don't think you could start where you are in the struggle, in the dirt. I always say, where you plant seeds, you plant them in the dirt. You plant them at the point of your lowest. And that's what happened when you walked in. Hey, I'm surprised you're not dead. You know, that's your lowest point. Hearing that, that's where those seeds become effective at that point. So I love that you said, despite all of that, this is what I want to do. And Youth Empowerment Bodyguards, BODDY Guards, I want to know more about it.
Oh, for sure. You got it. So that was, I started that directly after I got discharged from rehab because I couldn't do my policing gym. I couldn't pursue the security and bodyguard work, but I wanted to still be there for the kids.
Yeah.
So I started the public speaking, and then I designed, it used to be called Bodyguards Against Bullying Foundation because of my experience with bullying and losing my best friend in 2004 because he was bullied. But Bodyguards is now, I hate the sound braggadocious, but it's the truth. It's picking up great steam. Like, it's an initiative that I created to give a platform for youths who are going through struggles to share their stories of success and struggle and how they overcome it. So Bodyguards United is it's an organization where we unite through inspiration.
Ooh.
We have youths, like if you go to the Bodyguards page, you'll see the BU Hero program, which is all youths who have inspirational stories, actresses, singers, you name it, I got it, because they're just phenomenal kids. And I wanted to create an outlet and a platform for all these youths to share their stories, to share how they overcame. Because we keep saying that youth is the future, but not many people are giving them the damn platform to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give the youth a platform. I wanted to, you know, say, you know what, I'm done talking. I want to start supporting.
Yes.
So my good buddy Ryan Perez and I, we came together and we designed. Now the logo, I do have to specify some details with the logo. The logo is actually based off of three things from my personal life. The shield represents my industry profession of bodyguard work and security, so it represents unity. The wings, I've always had a fascination with wings. I've always loved how wings represent, you know, freedom.
Yes.
And, you know, doing whatever you want. Now, the fonts is a specific font that I had in my nightmares. When I was going through my depression and my suicide, I had this certain font that was haunting me every dream and nightmare I had.
Yeah.
And the font stayed with me. So that font in the logo represents overcoming your fears.
Ooh.
So even the logo, I had a youth wearing my hoodie to his school, and then he told his mother, and she told me that when he wore the hoodie and the shield, he felt like a superhero.
Freaking and then, awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's truly, I measure my success from what other people tell me. So when I have a youth telling me that he felt empowered and united with my shirt on and my logo, I realized, you know what, this is not about selling shirts.
No.
It's not about selling hoodies. It's not about making a profit. It's about making these kids wear those hoodies for a reason.
Yep.
The reason is unity. So, you know, Bodyguards, it's amazing. I'm loving it. I'm getting some celebrity support out of it. I am very happy to have your support specifically because I love you to death. I respect you so much. So I'm very thankful for your support as well.
Man, I support anybody that goes after their thing despite other things, despite, you know, the come up. We took it, we made a decision, and we're like, you know what? Our voice is just as important as any other voices. Our quotes are just important as any other quote. Shout out Ryan Perez, too, before I move on. And I want to share two quotes from Dave Body. And then we're going to get into how you could contact him. And he's going to give you all those websites. But these quotes are awesome. And I always said, stop sharing. Stop giving me other people's quotes. We have the power to make powerful quotes, too, and have us think and have us believe something because it's from the self. It's really unique, and it defines who we are. So I love when someone shares their own quote. I just always have a connection with that. And you are from Canada, and I wanted to just spit in there because I was like, man, I should have said, Alberta, Canada is in the house. So here are these two quotes. The first one, the weak make excuses and the strong set examples. Powerful. Powerful. Now, what do you mean by that?
I mean, the weak are the ones that are always complaining. They're the ones that bring all the problems but never have a solution. And the strong are the ones that give you the solution and show you how it's done.
Love it. Love it. And here's the second. When you settle for less of what you deserve, you diminish your worth. But never demand gold when you're not driven to give golden effort. Love it. Explain.
Of course, so many people worldwide settle. They settle. And when you do that, you allow the person that you're settling for or with determine your worth, such as an hourly wage, such as when you're allowed vacations. So, you know, you lose your freedom when you settle. You lose creativity, you lose focus, you lose motivation. And then you have the people who are constantly expecting gold when they only give a bronze or silver effort.
I want
that gold trophy, but I want to find the shortcut to get there.
Right.
I want. We are in 2016, people. Entitlement has never been successful.
Nope. No, I love that. That's why that one struck with me, because I'm like, okay, you want, here's one thing that I always say. If you give a person with a silver or bronze, matter of fact, coal, map, if you give a map to these type of people to dig for goal, they will use the map, get to the goal, and don't want to actually do the work and dig. You might as well take your map back, because these are people that won't put in the effort. And I love when you said that. It just struck me, as this is what I'm talking about every day when I get so upset, when I'm like, you know what, you guys got to work for it. Stop trying to be Gary Vee with 1,000 videos and not have anything. It's like a freaking deflatable freaking bubble, man. You know, so I love that you said this, and I'm going to steal it.
You can't steal what you're given.
Oh! Nice. So before we get on, I just want to ask you some uncomfortable questions, and this is what this show is about, Get Uncomfortable.
Love it.
DC Cross. Tell everyone where they could get you, how they could get in touch with you, if they want to share it. Also, if they want to support it, give them all your information at this point.
For sure. You got it. I'm available on Facebook at facebook.com/officialDaveBody. Bodyguards is on Facebook as well at facebook.com/BodyguardsUnited. I'm on Twitter at DaveBody86, Instagram, DaveNBody. I'm on LinkedIn, love LinkedIn. That's it, actually. Those are the ones I use. Those are my favorite ones. I have a website in the works for Bodyguards coming. You know, patience is a virtue. You got to work hard for what you want to release. Make sure it's released perfectly. So it's coming. The Bodyguards website is coming. Thankfully, once again, to Ryan Perez. Like, that guy is phenomenal. I love his work.
He's helping support, millions, right? Man. I love that. So what book did you read this month?
What books? I just finished a book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson.
Great book.
Great book. I'm now on The 21st Century of Business by, Mr. Kiyosaki. Yes. I'm sure that's how you pronounce his name.
Listen, we all say Kikuwakiwali.
No,
disrespect to him. We'll get the book on the show notes there.
We can read his book, just can't read his name, right?
And I don't think he cares as long as you get the book.
Exactly. No, I'm more or less a video watcher. Like, I don't like to read that much.
Okay.
Much like, you know, like, I'm like Gary Vee. I like to just take it all in, my videos, yeah, music. Got it.
Yeah. So what music do you listen to?
All of it. You know, I love rap. I love hip hop. I love classic rock. I love country. Gotta love country. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. You know, cow town. I love my
cow
country.
Cow town, oil town. Wikipedia told me that.
Yeah.
You know, but I gotta actually go there and check it out. So so what? Let me see. Let me ask you some deep questions here. When's the time that you figured that you got the most uncomfortable in your life?
Oh, that's wow. April 17th, 2007, when I was doing security, I had a girl pass away.
You know the date? I'm sorry.
I know the date.
Very, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. April 17th, 2007, I had a girl pass away in the food court of a mall I was doing security with, and wow, she was unresponsive, no heartbeat. Her boyfriend was freaking out, and her three-year-old son was in the shopper cart screaming for his mom. And I had to supervise my officer to do CPR while calming the boyfriend down because he was going through a intoxicated episode where he thought we were hurting her. So he was punching and kicking me,
whoa,
while having her three-year-old son screaming for his mom to wake up. At that very moment, I realized how important life is, how quickly it can just be taken away. And when you have someone else's life in your hands, it just brings you a certain awareness of, so when that happened, I started to realize, you know what, I have to make some life changes here. I have a son. I don't want my son to have to go through this. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started realizing that my concussions were becoming serious.
Wow.
And I suffered four more after that. But yeah, that date will always stay true to me because that was a day where I realized just how valuable life is from watching someone else lose theirs.
Wow. So the young lady, she died right there in the food court?
Yeah, we were able to revive her after about 40 seconds. Thankfully, there was an off-duty EMS officer there.
Yeah.
We were able to revive her. And then I found out about 4 days later that she was a cocaine user.
Wow.
With a heart pacer, and her heart pacer cut out because she used cocaine that morning.
Wow, man. It's serious, man. And this is just a side note. The drugs is not fun, man.
No.
You know? And you know, we're freaking highlighting it, and I hear it in music. I think, you know, the money is around the desk with the coke, with the drugs. And I'm like, man, why are we even doing that? And, you know, I smoked a little weed now and then, you know, shoved a little pills down my throat now and then. But now I realize, man, my health is my wealth, you know? So I'm like, I take care of myself, take care of my body, take care of what's in here. But it's just sad to hear that her son lost a mother. And, you know, I know you did everything you could and you revived her, but it just sucks that it's drugs that did it, you know?
Yep. When I was in security, I dealt a lot with drugs, prostitution, gangs. Oh, geez. I we could do a whole separate podcast just my 8 years in security work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
But doing security makes, you know, when you're in a position of authority and you have to witness and be called to serious events, you have a different shift in reality where you actually realize, you know what, the world is a dark place for a lot of people.
Right.
But you and I, we're doing the best we can to bring more light.
Well, you know what? I agree. That's my mission in life, is to teach millions how to get uncomfortable, to think better, act better, and live better. And I do it by touching one person. If one person watches this, listens to this, and they're like, man, you know what? I'm dealing with depression. You know what? I'm dealing with bullying. And they could reach out to you and get your opinion, or reach out to someone for help before they try three times or more times for suicide. That means the world to me. Just like what you said, when the young guy had on your hoodie and he felt like a superhero, that touched you, and your measurement of success is that, coming from the kid, knowing that you have touched them, and the mom calling you, that's powerful. So that's what we do on a daily basis. We do shine the light. We do not shine the dark.
We just shine our light in the dark.
Yeah! Boom, boom, boom! Here's the thing. I'm going to give you three words. I need you. I just added this segment because you're shining and it looks like you got a halo over your head. So now I'm going to give you these three questions, three words, and you tell me real quick, do not add time to this, real quick, what your word is. So it's that word association game, right? I'm going to say three words quickly. You tell me what's on top of your mind. So the first word is success.
Ability.
Comfort killers.
Amazing.
Content.
Needed.
Dave Body.
Friends with Stacy Cross with no E in her name.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed a very powerful, moving, inspirational, motivational, I am Stacy A. Cross, and there is no E in my name. My guest today has shared his story, shared his success, shared the click, and it was a slow progression. I'm glad you said that, because people think that we wake up one day and we're like, it's all here. No, he doesn't read books. He loves watching videos, though, but he read Kawasaki, right? And The Slight Edge this month. What are you reading? And of course, you could find him on Facebook at Official Dave Body, and his Bodyguards United is helping empower the youth to stand up to bullying, to stand up to depression, to be superheroes in their life. And I freaking love it. And what do you got to say, Dave?
Follow me and join the movement, because Bodyguards United is coming.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much again for spending some time investing. I watch what I say now. Investing some time with Stacy A. Cross, my friend.
Thank you for inviting me. I'll come back whenever you want.
I want to do a whole segment on that security officer shit.
Not a problem. I'm an open book.
I definitely know it. Thank you all the way from Canada, all the way to Philadelphia. We appreciate you. Remember, remain uncomfortable.